Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
God is good. God is faithful. He, you know, it was a wonderful, wonderful dinner, and everybody, we had some guests, and it was just really, really special. I'm going to tell you what's coming up because I feel like I want to do that in the next few weeks. I'm going to actually do a little preview of life of one of the kings tonight, but I'm actually going to be doing about an 8-week study on prayer. That's going to start next week. Following that, we are going to visit with all of the kings of Judah and Israel during the United Kingdom and then in the separate kingdoms, and I'm going to do some preview on that tonight. But I actually want to talk to you about something, because tonight I'm going to be talking about King Hezekiah, and one of the things he did in 2 Kings was he removed the high places and smashed the sacred stones, tore down the idols, and cut down the Asherah poles. In them days, they would worship Asherah poles, and they would take them up to the high place. And an incident in our United States of America occurred just a couple days ago at a men's conference. It was a men's conference in Springfield, Missouri, and it was a Stronger Men conference. They were doing different events, you know, things with trucks and different things, but they had several multiple speakers that were going to be on the platform that they had invited. One of them was Pastor Mark Driscoll. Some of you know that his history, they've had some issues with Pastor Mark. He's excellent, in my opinion. He was going to be the opening speaker. Before that, they prefaced it with one of their so-called acts. You know, this is supposed to be for men, and it's supposed to be, you know, they're doing some truck stuff, like I said, some manly kind of stuff. What they did was they hired a male stripper, and he opened up the event, and he was on the platform before Pastor Mark. Pastor Mark was the first speaker. That's a tough position to be in because he's a godly man. But like King Hezekiah and other kings, this goes with my message, what I'm about to share with you. Somebody has to be a man. Somebody has to be a man of God and a woman of God and have the courage, no matter what platform you're on, to stand up for God, to stand up for righteousness. So they had the stripper on the platform and took off his shirt, did a pole-type act. What happened was when Pastor Mark was going to speak, he had a decision to make. And instead of do the message that he was going to do, he just took it and put it aside, and he took his cap off, which is his signature cap, and he knelt down. And he said, I don't want to do this. I have to do this. He said, here today, the spirit of Jezebel just opened up. Pornography, the whole nine yards. He said to the people, he said, I don't say this judging, I say this. This is a platform that is a high place. This is an Asherah pole right here. And this here is worship. He said, I can't give you all that he said, but he got taken off the stage immediately. This is a mega church. This is a mega church. And this is a denomination church, an AG church, in Springfield, Missouri, where they had a male stripper as their opening act to their conference. What I loved about it, let me tell you, I hated it, but let me tell you part of what I loved about it. The men were just taken aback, of course, but when you're with something, you tend to, what's going on? Is there a point here? Where's the punchline here? Are they going to say, don't do this, anything? No, not at all. But Pastor John, who was the attending pastor, immediately started screaming out, you're done, you're done, you're done. Pastor Mark said, I received that, and began to walk off the stage. But there was a remnant of men. Remember we said yesterday in the message, there's a remnant. There was a remnant of men that were screaming out, bring him back, bring him back. Do you know why? They wanted truth. They want righteousness. There was a few of them. And I so appreciated that, because we're going to more and more, as our world gets more reprobate, and as these things start happening, we're going to have to take a stand. It's going to cost you to take a stand. He got literally pulled off the stage. And all the pastor could say in his defense, which I thought was, don't even bother, sir. Please don't even bother. But he did. He pulled from Matthew 18, and he said, you're supposed to rebuke me and correct me in private. He didn't say this was wrong. He didn't say, yes, we're humbled. We're going to repent. We're going to apologize. All of it. It's all on camera. It's just the way it is. But this is the stuff that we're seeing. These are the things that we're going to have to take a stand. And I say that to preface this message on King Hezekiah and why I'm going to go through some of the kings in the weeks ahead. Because let me just share something with you. I've done some math, Tony. Tony, you're not the only one who can do math. There were 42 kings between Judah and Israel, including the United Kingdom and the two divided kingdoms. And out of those 42 kings, there were only 8 good kings. Out of 42 people, and that's iffy on one of them, so it might have been 7. There were 8 that were good. What that means to me, doing the good math that I can do in subtraction, 34 were evil kings who did not serve God. Now, I say that to tell you this. In the beginning, when Israel was begging God, not begging, demanding, begging and demanding at the same time, they said, we want a king like the other nations have, like all these surrounding nations. Well, when I do my math here, I figured it out. The other nations had bad kings. So they got what they asked for. Be careful what you ask God for. Be careful what you demand from God. You might get it. And they got the kings, and these kings did not serve them well, neither did they honor God. And so, and by the way, there were 42 kings, and there was one queen. Her name was Athaliah. So one woman got thrown in the bunch. You think that might be a good thing? Not either. Nope. You know, worse than ever. So we're going to, I want to study the kings. There's some super interesting stuff here. There's some powerful lessons we can learn from the study of these kings. And the Bible, we think, well, we're talking about Asherah poles and things. Wait a minute, on Friday at the conference, we've seen an example of an Asherah pole. So you know what? We need the Word of God today just as much as they did back then, maybe more than ever, because there's more of us. So this could be an example of why God told them he saw through time that he was not pleased that they wanted a king. This is why, because he knew what they would do. And besides that, the main reason God didn't want them to have another king is it was disrespectful. It was dishonoring, because God was their king. I want to be your king. So they were really looking for someone to replace God. And so let's talk about Hezekiah just a little bit tonight, just a little visit to kind of explain what we're going to do in the weeks ahead. Hezekiah was the 13th king of Judah when the kingdoms were divided, Israel being the northern kingdom, Judah being the southern kingdom. But we all know there is only one true kingdom, and that's the kingdom of God. And there's only one true king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, King Hezekiah's father was King Ahaz, and Ahaz was wicked, did not follow God. Not only wicked, he was very wicked. He was extremely wicked king. He was evil. He practiced child sacrifice. Now, let me tell you something about that. Welcome to the United States of America, where abortion is a hot-button issue. Child equals child sacrifice. Not only that, the murder. You know what? I've told you this before recently. One of the things that I liked to do, I love to play word games just because I am a word person and tend to win. So, you know, you find something you can win at, okay? So nobody can beat me. I love word games online. So I'm in the top 3% now. I love word games, but again, convicted, don't waste your time, okay? I told God, you know, of course, you know, yeah, yeah, this sharpens my brain. Don't waste your time. So does the word sharpen your brain. So I'm like, okay, you win. So the next thing that I liked to do, you know, just by way of, I'm intrigued by Nancy Grace and all the crime shows. Again, God convicted me. But before he did, I would see so many things, not just murders of people, but, you know, children, you want to know, how did this happen? How could this happen? Just interested. Let me tell you, these same things that were happening back in Bible times are still happening today, and at a greater pace, and at a faster and even worse than ever. So don't tell me we don't need the word to tell us don't practice child sacrifice and don't have no king but Jesus. We still need that. So Ahaz was a wicked king, and like father, like son, most of the time, but not all of the time. Here's why. We have a choice. And there are people that are influential in our lives. And those, a lot of times those people are called parents. But you can see this, and I've told this story before. I'll tell it one more time. There were two sons, and they were raised by an alcoholic father. And he was just a desperate alcoholic. One of the sons turned out to be a CEO and a pastor. The other son turned out to be an alcoholic. Why? Why? And both of them said, why did you become an alcoholic? Because my father was. He said, why did you become a pastor? And he said, because I learned from my father what not to be. And so the influence in our lives, but it doesn't mean we have to, if we were abused, go ahead and abuse our children. And I also told a young man years ago, he said, I had a terrible dad. My dad did this. My dad did that. And he goes, that's why I'm like I am. I said, no, sir, no excuse. I said, you had a bad dad. That should be your excuse, your reason for becoming a good dad. You may have had a bad dad. That does not prevent you or prohibit you from becoming a godly father. How much more? Become the person you wish you had in your life for someone else. And that's what I told the young man. And he was kind of shocked. But I want to say something about parents, whatever your parents are, and don't lay that at their feet. They're imperfect people. We're all sinners, none good. But I want to say this. Do not ever let your past or someone else's past define your destiny. A lot of times, I'm like my mother. I'm like my father. No, their past shouldn't dictate or define your destiny, and neither should your past. We are created in the image of God, and we all have a choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And it's interesting, but I'm going to tell you the credit for Hezekiah becoming who he was actually goes not to his evil, wicked father, but to his mother. I'm going to read to you 2 Kings 18:2-3. He, Hezekiah, was 25 years old when he became king, rather young. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah, who, by the way, was a priest, okay, a priest. And he, Hezekiah, did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. His father was not actually David. His father was Ahaz. In this context, it means his ancestor. His ancestor was David. And so we have a clue here. He's not like his father, but in the Bible, it's very specific. It gives the name of his mother and says his mother's name was Abihai. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. That is a clue. If the Bible tells us that Ahaz was a very wicked, wicked king, I want to begin that by saying that nothing in the Word of God is in there by mistake or accident. And so Abihah's father, Zechariah, was a priest of God. Basically, let's call him a pastor. And immediately we see that we're given the name, his mother's name, and told that Hezekiah did what was right in the sight of God and according to his ancestors. If the Bible is going to tell us that Ahab was wicked and mentions it would have said if his mother was also wicked. It did not name her as a wicked person, but attached her name to him doing what was right in the sight of the Lord. So I think it's very important. We need to read, to understand, and to perceive what's actually being said by revelation of the Holy Spirit. One more bit of support for Abihah here is her name. Guess what they named her? My God is Yahweh. Because Abi means father and Yahweh means is God. God is my father. I want to remind us all, as a mother and a father, we have the ability and the honor of teaching and training by our good example, even if others in our household are doing wrong, including your spouse. We can pick up the slack, we can cover, we can bless anyway and be that example to someone because someone's watching. More, God is always watching, but so is someone else that wants to do better and wants to be better. And one of the things the Bible tells us is that Hezekiah did tear down the altars and the idols that had been set up. Can I ask you to guess who may have set up some of those idols? Ahaz, his father, sets them up. The sun comes. That's courageous. That's a Mark Driscoll move right there. You know, you're tearing down the idols that your dad set up. And people know it, and they see it. You know what? What if we were to tear down the strongholds in our lives that were in our father and our mother's life and say, I don't want to, you know, I'm not saying parents are all bad, but they've made mistakes and things that we can learn from and say, I don't have to repeat that mistake, and I can break that stronghold. It stops with me if there's alcoholism in our family. It stops with me. We start serving God. So 2 Kings said, he removed the high places, smashed the sacred stones, tore down the idols of the people, cut down the Asherah poles, broke into pieces the bronze snake that Moses had made. For up to that time, the Israelites had been burning incense to them. You know, it's one thing God had this pole made. They looked on the pole for a purpose, for a reason, not to worship it. We don't worship. We don't worship poles. They can do nothing for us. We don't worship chairs. We don't worship inanimate objects at all. We worship God and God alone. And he tore them down. He smashed them into pieces, broke them, got rid of them, destroyed them completely, the Bible says. But we need to know that something very important here, because there are things in our lives that we need to tear down, that we need to get rid of. And some of the idols, this is what the Holy Spirit was saying to me this afternoon as I was preparing this. There are idols like this thing here. We could worship this. We could worship the chair. We could worship things. But there are idols, strongholds in our mind that we need to. And how can I prove this? What is the scripture? Cast down every vain imagination or thing that would highly exalt itself in worship against the knowledge of God. So we need to take those things captive in our lives. And I want to tell you that having idols and having things that are evil and wicked, it can affect you. I can remember years ago, some of you've heard this, some of you haven't. I was called one day, it's been many years, my sister's children lived right across the alley down the street from us. And while Sandy was at work, the kids, the three children were home. Two were teenagers at the time, and Jonathan was younger. They're all believers now and strong believers. And they called me over and said that things were moving in their house and that they could feel an evil spirit in their house. They were crying. All three of them felt it. My nephew said that something clued me in. He kept saying, it will pass by me, and I can feel the swoosh of it on the stairs. He said, it will come by me. And my niece was telling me, she said, you know, I can't sleep at night. I'm tormented. My sister knew that. We were all well aware of that. But the torment was becoming more and more. So I sat down with them. I just got them in the front room because my sister wasn't home. And I said, there's something going on here. If this is truly happening, and they were all shaking their heads yet, I said, something is going on in this house, and one of you know what it is, because their mother is godly, and there's nothing there. I said, so something's going on. So one of my nieces said, it's me. She said, if that's right, it's me. She said, I have some music that my mother has absolutely forbid me. It was Eminem and a bunch of other stuff like that, and she said, has forbid me to have in this house. And she said, I have it. And she said, I can't sleep at night. It comes in my room. I have to have things open. And I said, we're going to cast it out. We're going to cast it out. But what you have to do is bring that stuff. It has to go. It has to be destroyed. And she did. It was all destroyed that day. I said, now we can cast out that spirit and say, you go with it, and I'm going to draw a bloodline around this house, and we're going to plead the blood. And when I say they were ready, they were ready. You know, when you get to going through things like that, when demons start manifesting like that, you know, when an intruder enters your home, you might not want to wait for the police. You might find it necessary to just do it now. But those are things that we need to, sometimes we need to get rid of things. I can also remember my daughter, my middle daughter, coming home with some just awful kind of CDs and things. And somehow I got them in my hands, in my possession, and I took them and just started stomping on them. And she immediately was just, she said, you can't do that. I said, too late. I just did. And she said, well, they didn't belong to me. And I said, well, I guess you can explain that your mom is just a crazy Christian, and I'll get her some good CDs if she wants. She don't want your kind of music. I'm like, okay, well, then that's okay. Then I'm set to go. But I heard, this is from my brother. I remember him saying in a Sunday morning service when we were preaching, one of the most spiritual things that we can get our hands on and do is get a garbage bag and go through our house. Now, this hit home to me today, too, because when my sister came over today, I told her, she said, what are you doing? I said, I'm purging. She said, what do you mean? You're bulimic? What? I said, no. I took all kinds of bags to the place where you take the clothes and the shoes and things. I said, you've got to clean. You got to keep your house clean. And that's one of the things a few years ago that, and you will remember this when I say it, that the Holy Spirit gave me a prophecy and he said, share this with the church. And I actually shared it in the church in Kansas City. I shared it at LCC when I went to speak there. That God said, I'm cleaning my house. I'm going to come in like a fire. And I'm going to clean my house, and I'm going to sweep through my house and clean my house. And I was rejoicing, and he said, and I'm going to take care of business. And one of the things that I did not realize is later I went to bed, and the Lord spoke to me a second time, and he said, you never ask me why I'm going to be doing this. And I said, obviously you want me to ask, so why? And here's what he said. A clean house is a healthy house. The root word is healing. Healing can come. If you live in a filthy house, somebody's going to get sick. It's unhealthy. Am I right? He said, a clean house is a healthy house. He said, but there's one more thing. When I clean my house and the house gets healthy, he said, the second reason I'm going to clean my house is companies coming. You clean for company to come. When things get clean, people will be attracted. They can come into the house and they can be blessed. They can be fed. They can be ministered to. God is cleaning house, and I see it in these last days. He is not going to put up with. When I seen what was going on at that men's conference, I thought, wow, you know, okay, women, let's check our conferences. Come on, let's get it right, because these kind of things are going to happen. God is not going to put up with this. And he's going to use people that will speak the truth of the word of God without compromise anywhere and everywhere when someone starts saying something that is incorrect. And so Hezekiah did what was honoring in the sight of God. He got rid of the false gods, which are actually false gods, are not gods at all. They're not gods. Verse 5 says, Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him, well, there's only 8 good kings anyway, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not stop following him. He kept the commands the Lord had given Moses, and the Lord was with him. He was successful in whatever he undertook. He rebelled against this is taking a stand. He rebelled against the king of Assyria, and he did not serve him. I love what Hezekiah did. He took care of business. And it takes us examining our own hearts, making the adjustments, and God will bless us in our business, in our life, in our ministry. We have to get rid and cast down those things. And I want to say this. This is my all time saying that God showed me, if you delay, you will not obey. When God puts something on your heart to do, you have to do it immediately, because if you delay, you are not going to obey. Just as in Abraham, the Bible says he got up very early in the morning and he went. You know, sometimes if you hesitate to make a decision. I had a cute situation today. I went for a frozen Coke at the McDonald's, and I was driving through, and the guy at the window, who I pretty much know now, he said to me, he said, the woman ahead of you paid for your meal. And so I said, I almost didn't do it. In a split second, I said, wait, then I need to pay for the guy behind me. And so I did, and then he told me, he goes, you're the 11th car. He said, you make 11. I would have stopped the chain. I said, keep it going, because they had a thing going. And it was so cool because, you know, we're doing good things. We want to just keep it going. But if you delay, you're not going to do things. You've got to be able to make decisions like that. Say, no, I'm going to bless them right now. I need to do this. This is what I need to do. And it takes a second, but you can get it right by the power of the Holy Spirit, because he'll put it on your heart in one instant what you're supposed to do. And I want to tell you something about getting rid of things. We're not going to get through all the material tonight. I don't even want to, because I truly believe less is more, if that's okay. Because you'll go home and you'll think of some of this. When you get rid of things, when you get rid of the junk and you get things out of your life, here's the problem. You need to replace that. You know, you're used to that. If I am not eating junk food, I can't just not eat. There's a void there. There's a vacancy there. I need to eat healthy. I need to replace it with something, right? The same thing is spiritually. When we get rid of things that we don't want, don't need, that is displeasing to God, we need to replace it, because there's a void in our life, there's an emptiness, and we need to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us up and replace it with the Word of God, so that we can be blessed, and not just so that we can be blessed, but when we are blessed, we have it flowing, like that line just kept flowing. When we bless, we can bless others. And we, of course, we need God's help for that. But there is so much here with Hezekiah, because Hezekiah is the king who later got sick. And I believe that it pays to serve God. I believe that we're healthier. I believe that we're wiser. I believe that we're more protected. Everything. Things are different in God's kingdom. And even our battles, he could win the battle. You know, Hezekiah is also the one who faced the evil army of Assyria. And the king of Assyria sent a message and, you know, in the presence of God's people, he made sure they knew it in Hebrew. They were telling him, please, you know, say it in our, so that the people don't have to hear this. We're going to tell the people. And they said this. He said, don't let Hezekiah deceive you. He can't deliver you from my hand. Don't let him persuade you to trust in the Lord God, and say that the Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Syria. He kept saying, do not listen to Hezekiah. But let me tell you what the people did. 2 Kings 18:36, but the people remained silent. They said nothing in reply, because the king had commanded, don't answer him. I'm going to tell you something today. You don't have to answer your haters. You don't have to answer your naysayers. You don't have to answer the enemy. You are not obligated to give an excuse for who you are and what you do, why you're a Christian, why you believe what you believe. You can be silent. When the enemy comes up against you, you don't have to say a word. Don't give away your strategy. Don't give him, you know what? That was a very good thing. That was a very good thing to do. I don't want to argue with the enemy. I don't want to argue with the enemy. I want to be silent. And you know what? And so then it gets funnier. He decided to send a letter. We're going to send a letter to Hezekiah. So now he gets a letter. What did he do? He brought it to the temple. He took the letter to church. If any of you get any letters from the enemy, bring them to church. We'll just put them at the altar like they did and say, Lord, we got a letter. We got a letter. The letter ain't good. And guess what? God will hear it. God will answer. And God saved them. So I think of that every time I think of that time that I was in the church and we had all those needs. And I just laid that right in the middle aisle and just said, God, this is the list of the needs. This is what we need. And within like 10 minutes, a woman in this church called and said, God just put it on my heart. Do you guys have anything that you need for the church? And I said, yeah, we do. We always have needs and things. And then she asked me the million-dollar question, do you have a list? And I'm on the floor with the list on the back aisle. I took a screenshot with my phone, sent it to her, and she was the one. She met every single one of those needs. If you can bring your letter, you can bring your list to God. Let's ask our praise team, worship team to come. By the way, I love that song, that Spanish song is so, so beautiful. I don't know the language much, but I really, really can feel the anointing on some of these, on all of our music and really on our instruments, the piano and the guitars, just all of it. There's nothing like worship. But I'm encouraging you, don't put up with anything that the enemy has to say or do. Do what's right. Get rid of the bad stuff. Replace it with God, and he is going to bless our lives. And when we have a need, we're going to talk next week real quickly about King Hezekiah and the time when he got sick, because we've all had a time when we got sick or might get sick. And then we're going to begin a study on prayer, and I think you're going to really love it.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries, a Christian fellowship church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.